Oh, hey, y'all. Let's talk about aging and how to age better. Research suggests that a big contributor to poor aging is senescent cells, and they're better known as zombie cells. As we age, these senescent cells will accumulate in our bodies, and they start to take away our energy. They start to pull at our nutritional resources, contributing to sluggish energy, less flexibility, slower workout recovery, basically that horrible middle-aged feeling. In the last 10 years, however, research has identified plant-derived ingredients which can actually help our bodies naturally eliminate senescent cells. And those are called senolytics. To get complete senolytic support, you've got to try this formula. It's made by Neurohacker, and it's called Qualia Senolytic. It's almost like a monthly cleanse for aging. You take Qualia Senolytic just 2 days a month, and it's loaded with science-backed vegan senolytic ingredients that help your body naturally eliminate senescent cells. It's like helping your body feel 10 years younger in just a couple of months. Go to neurohacker.com/shockandy'all to try Qualia Senolytic with a 100-day money-back guarantee and use the code shockandy'all, all one word, to get 15% off your first order. Let's start aging better. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Shock and Y'all, a podcast about our mental and physical fitness, spirituality, and your big, bold life. I'm your host, Nicole Shaka, and I am so grateful you're here. I train bodies for a living, but I'm even more interested in harnessing the mind and elevating your spirit. Every week, I'm speaking with exceptional humans or experts in their field, or folks who genuinely have a unique and valuable insight we can all benefit from. So get cozy, or lace up your shoes, or keep your eyes on the road. And let's drop right in. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Shock and Y'all. I'm speaking with my dear friend, Sarah Ezrin, today. She is an author, a yoga teacher, and a mother of two. I do want to put a trigger warning on this episode. There is discussion over disordered eating, eating disorders in general, and quite a bit about mental health. Sarah and I discuss magical thinking, the power of your thoughts, and our misguided need for control. We break down social media, how she was such an influence in my TikTok presence. We talk about our yoga practice and the landscape of your yoga practice over time. What does that look like as you get older? She is an absolute brilliant speaker and author, and I can't wait for us to learn together. Let's dive right in. Oh, hello.
Hello.
It's Miss Sarah Ezrin. Hi, buddy. Okay. Here's your love letter. Are you ready? Sarah Ezrin is thoughtfully unfolding. In real time, this woman has lived multiple lives, played many parts, and studied the language of life itself. Whether in a yoga studio or under a pile of diapers, she continues her journey of self-exploration, presence, and elevated parenting. Sarah not only inspires so many, but brings clarity to the most mundane, unspoken perplexities of doing it all. She writes with a bold and open heart, and she shares with such gentleness that her message lands for everyone within earshot. Her mom game is a work of art, and she is too. Welcome, Sarah.
Can I use that for my bios? That is beautiful. Are you writing everybody's, but as you read them? Because they're really, every single one that I've listened to so far is like out of the park.
Well, that's very nice. I was inspired by one of my friends, Annie, who did that for me, and we had never met in person. And when she read my bio, I was like, well, I don't have anything else to say. I don't know who that girl is.
Beautiful. Exactly. It's I had a weird out of body experience at first. And then I was like, get grounded, Sarah. I was like, use all your tools.
That's how I like to start. Just really throw you off your game.
Yeah. This chick sounds interesting. Keep going.
She is. She's very interesting.
Thank you, ladies and
gentlemen. Can I also present? Oh, I have all these pins inside of your book. Y'all look, The Yoga of Parenting. Look at this beautiful book. Mm-hmm. Nice and thick. Okay, this is my, see, I make some notes every now and then.
You had one of the original copies.
I know.
Didn't it, there was like disaster with the press. Like your copy came with no information.
That's
your
right.
Your copy came super early with
That's
no
right.
letter and no information.
I had
and I
no.
Was like, oh my God.
And I said, Because I was like, do I just read the back of the book and like make stuff up? I'm pretty
like,
sure.
Did you write this? Is this your book? Like, what's going on?
I forgot about that. Yay, book launches.
I didn't. That was like, yes, that's like your like worst fear of all book launches, but it all worked itself out.
It
And
sure
thank God
did.
it was like you and someone I knew who could text me and be like, am I supposed to like get some direction on this? Should there be information about you?
I know. I did. I was like, I feel like something's missing. Either way, it's
here
turned
you go.
Out.
Enjoy.
I'd have, and it all worked out. That lends me to my next point. So Sarah, you know what? I need to give you credit. I need to thank you. You guys, if you're listening to this and if you found me through TikTok, it's because of Sarah. During the pandemic, she was like, what are you doing with your life? Get on TikTok. And I said, I've been scrolling and watching for 3 years. She said, get on it. And then she became basically, you were like my accountability partner for TikTok, learning that you taught me things. Remember all that? I would text you. I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I hit share. It's out in the ethers.
Well, I mean, it was like, it's because what was going on at the time. Well, first of all, like anything you do, anything you put out there, it's like you on a live, you on a reel, you just like you and I talking on the phone. I was like, someone needs to be recording this at all times and we need to share it across the globe. Everybody needs to see what Nicole's doing at all times. And TikTok was like the perfect medium for that. And then boom, girl. I mean, it just like, it skyrocketed like no tomorrow. I'm so proud of you. I love what you've grown on there. I love the integrity with which you share, because it's like you could just be a comedian. You are also sharing very valuable information that is helping people live longer and feel better in their bodies and, you know, live with integrity. And I just, it's so cool to see, also while being hilarious and, you know, gorgeous at the same time. Dude. So it's like, I love that you show up so authentically. And it was, I'm just so glad that platform.
Thank you. It like never would have happened without you.
For you. It was perfect. Thanks. Okay, I'll take
I'm not kidding. Matt told me to do it for 2 years. And I'm like, you don't know me. He'd be like, you just kill it on TikTok. I'm like, I don't have 2 seconds to learn TikTok. And then you're in my DMs and you're like, hey, how about you try and make a TikTok? I was like, well, Sarah, how do I do it? What do you suggest, Sarah? Do I start now?
Okay. I think we were doing video. Weren't we doing like screen videos?
Yes.
Like, this is how you record.
Because I knew nothing.
Add text. Yeah.
Oh God.
And look at
anyway,
you now,
thank
girl.
You.
Look
I really
you
do. I do appreciate it because I love that forum.
Me too.
And I know you feel the same. And we talk about social media. I mean, you talk about it in your book a great deal, but also you talk about that openly, I think, on your platforms. Just
I
how
talk
it's
about
such...
social media on social media.
as you should, because that we all are thinking the same thing. It's a giant paradigm of dump. You like that? Is that a tagline or what?
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's a matrix. It's a matrix of poo. Social media, discussing social media on social media. I was going somewhere with that. The point was that I think TikTok, and as you mentioned in your book, how you tracked your usage hours, and it was like 8 hours of social media time. I'm sure mine's 8, if not 9, 10, who knows? I do find a lot of incredible people. I find a lot of incredible content. I find comic relief. I find community there. It's pretty amazing because it's that... it's the give and pull of it. It's like, how much am I going in and what am I really getting? What's the ROI, you know? Yeah. It's a crazy thing. How do you feel about it now?
There's benefits and there's drawbacks, but I think that that's the truth of absolutely everything, right? Yeah. Like, I'm drinking a lot of water and there's benefits to that, but there's also dry. You can also drink too much water. Every single thing that we do, when we're looking at the amount that we're consuming something, it can be poison or it can be medicine. And with social media, I mean, same, I love the community aspect of it. For me, it was like one of those places where I could just show up and be authentic and share. And then the amount of people that were responding and saying like, oh, me too, like over things that weren't really discussed, because pre-pandemic, for example, when I had my miscarriage, I don't remember people really talking about it very openly. And, you know, and I'm sure there were some amazing trailblazers out there. I don't at all consider myself like I wasn't the pioneer by any means, but in our community, I don't remember hearing much about it in the yoga community or the wellness community. Mm-mm. And so when I shared about it, and then everybody was like, came out of the woodworks to be like, this is what happened to me. And this is quite common. It was just one of those experiences where like, there's nothing going to replace social in that moment.
Right.
Maybe being in a room of like hundreds of people, but like that was the equivalent of that. But I got to do it from my couch while recovering from the miscarriage. while unable to like wash my face or leave my house, I got to have all of these other parents all around the world come and surround me and hold me and be like, this is a normal part of family planning and it's okay, you're not alone. And so from there, I started to kind of reach out about different things. Now, I think the pandemic turned it upside down because everybody started sharing, right? And you can see it in just how Instagram changed. Like the feed used to be all these curated pictures and like color coded and like quotes and things. I used to spend so much time on that. Like oh my God, if I could get that time back, holy moly. But then suddenly everyone was just like in their dressing gown and like with like a glass of wine at 3 p.m. And people were just showing up as they were, and they were talking about things, and mental health really came into the conversation in a more above ground way. I still think it needs to be talked about more, but I loved watching the shift on social media. So I mean, I can go down the rabbit hole and get too far down in comparison, but if I stay on the surface and I'm there for what I'm meant to do on there, which is connect, and like I get in and out, you know, I talk to you and I like support you and I support my friends and I share their stuff, and then I'm out of there, like then I can have a healthy relationship. It's when I'm up all night like looking at other moms and other yoga teachers and other leaders and I'm like
No, I know. I love your account for that reason, because I know that when I go there, I'm going to be met with like the comic relief from your funny little TikToks about mothering, and then with heaviness, because this is why we get along. I love the comedy, and then I want to go all in on the real. And when you do that, when you share to that degree and with that sort of vulnerability, not only are you a standout, but you immediately help people feel seen. And that's all we want, I think. Oftentimes when we go to social media, I think we want to feel seen. Obviously that can go off the rails real fast, but just to segue into what I wanted to ask you about, you posted about, this was a Substack article, right? The Magical Thinking Era.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Which I missed social, your Substack.
I it didn't is a see social that. Network, by the way. I mean, don't you think? I consider it a social network.
For sure.
Okay. All right.
Yes. I'm just saying, you know,
because I think that that's a healthy way for us to be putting our energy into it too. Yes, like I've had more fun writing in longer form. It's just different, right? I'm like, oh, or threads or, you know, anyway, just like kind of rethinking like how are we out there in social? It's not just Instagram anymore.
No, thank God.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to spread the love. So Sarah wrote this, I want to say an article, but it's a Substack piece. What do we call it?
Tomato, tomato, an essay, a blog,
it's an essay,
newsletter. I don't know.
The news. What you call God. Yours? I change it up all the time. Yeah, I think I say
subby.
Email.
I like to say subby. Yeah, it's an email. You're going to get an email from me.
It's an email. Oh my God. Okay. I get on tangents, Sarah. If you haven't listened to any of these episodes prior, I'm a tangent train. Your Magical Thinking Era post it took my breath away because I had so many thoughts all at once. Can you give folks the synopsis of the whale trip real quick?
Yeah. So as a little girl, I was obsessed with whales. I just like absolutely obsessed. Like I would wear a whale tail and I memorized every single genus of whale. And I, you know, this is when like SeaWorld was, you know, you didn't know that it was what it is. I mean, although now I guess it's like conservation or so they say, but I like had dreams of being like the girl that rides the whale. Again, please, PETA. Like I didn't know I was four.
You don't know what you don't know.
Anyway, you don't, I didn't know, but I, you know, even dreams of like swimming with them live and, you know, and in open water, it was just such a big part of my personality, as was manifestation and creation and this idea that I had powers of some kind. So I think maybe that was part of it, is like, I could like tame the animals and we could all live in harmony. So anyway, cut to my first trip to Maui, my first or second trip. And I was on a dive boat with my dad and my mom and the captain. And off in the distance, we started to see spouts. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is my moment. Here we go. I was sitting on the bow of the boat and my dad said, well, why don't you sing to them? So I started singing, whales, whales, whales come and play. And the next thing I knew, they turned around and were coming right towards the boat. And I just could not handle it. I couldn't handle it. And I don't want to blame the adults, but like there was no, I feel bad, but like there was no container to hold what was going on for me. Everybody was screaming, "You called them, look at what you've done." And these three huge humpbacks came and surrounded our little dive boat, which meant that the boat was like sloshing back and forth. And I was getting thrown around, and the grown-ups are like cheering in excitement. Nobody's like checking. I'm like falling down, not knowing where to go. So I hide in like the little area where the captain's quarters is. It's like big enough for a bench and the wheel. And I remember just being on the stool and like getting rocked around. Now, whenever they'd swim underneath, everything would be totally still. And it's really cool now as like, you know, meditation teacher and like a parent, because it's you, even in those most of heightened moments, there are those opportunities for stillness. So even with the whales, there was, you know, it was like they just them being underneath, they could still be in proximity and it was still incredibly still. But then they'd go on the sides and they were like spouting and, you know, like waving and like doing all the things that like are amazing, but I could not handle it. I could not handle it. My little girl nervous system, I was freaking out, crying, screaming. I was yelling, "Whales, go away." Nobody cared what I was doing. Everybody was taking pictures. They were like having the show of their life, you know? And apparently I wrote the article and I was like, it was a good 5 minutes. My dad was like, "No, it was 15 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, it was even more traumatizing.
Oh, great.
And then they went away. And then they went away. And then I was like, I missed it. I missed the whole thing. And then it was like this other like weird guilt and devastation. So anyway, the whole day I'm like still shaking, you know, still very much all nervous system rattled. And that night I was trying to go to sleep. And I can't remember if I'd actually fallen asleep and started having nightmares or if I was just freaking out from earlier in the day. And my dad came in and said, "You did not call the whales. That's called magical thinking." And both of my parents, in an effort to calm me, took away any power that I had in that moment and were trying to bring me back to earth. And really, it just took all of the magic out of everything, because then it was like, I have zero control over anything. You're just out to sea. I felt more scared than if I did have that power. And it made me doubt everything, right? I mean, it was like, whatever magic I thought I had, and I continued to have these very supernatural, I mean, you know, girl, you know, with everything you're going through and the signs are everywhere, but I continued to have these amazing experiences, but I just wrote it all off as magical thinking. It was not real. It was just a coincidence, magical thinking. And it took a long time for me. I mean, I'm in recovery right now with like, okay, you know, put things out there, look for the signs, but it was, it was an interesting experience for a little girl. And I, to this day, I have whale dreams, like humpback dreams where I'm swimming with them. We did have like a redo moment, my husband and I, when we were out in Maui whale watching a couple of years ago. But I don't know, I just like wish I could go back to that moment and just be like settled and calm and breathing, but I wasn't, right? And that was just how that little girl needed to handle it in that moment. The grown-ups were like off and they're probably smoking. Their own fucking thing, you know?
I just wonder how many people have some kind of comparable story to that, because I think the beauty of childhood, right, is that you're a little bit more in you're tapped in, the magic is real.
Yeah.
I mean, to whatever degree, you know, you take that in your own household, if you're a parent, but I just wonder how many people in their adult suits right now can relate to that story, because it feels like your parents are doing the best they can, but I feel as if the language nowadays is a little bit more progressive in the idea that there's just more talk about spirituality and metaphysics and signs. And so, at least in my house, maybe I should just speak for myself. Bo and I talk about it all the time. And I know that I like to keep that alive as much as I can for him, for those reasons, because I want him to look for the beauty in this world and not have to overthink it at such a young age, which they're all seemingly faced with. I just look at these kids. I'm like, oh my God, how do you already know what that is? Or why are you asking that question at 10 years old? You know, it's just a different reality. So I thank you for sharing it, because I just know it resonates with people.
Well, my theory is like, you know, when we are born, when we enter this world, the veil is very thin. And if you have the privilege of carrying a baby and birthing a baby, you are also exposed, right? You were in that very ethereal, and death is very similar. Death is the other side of that. And it feels like all this stuff dissolves. And I know you're very into like the physics of the metaphysics and really connected. And this is also why, like, when you hear about kids talking about past lives, like, you know, how cool it is, because kids just have this like plug in to these different parts, or, you know, not to be creepy, but kids will be like, oh, I saw grandma, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, but it's true. And they're very plugged in, but then there's social conditioning, and that's what happens. So we get hardened. Like, we have that essence inside of us. That is, that's that spirit, right? That's connected to everything and everyone. This is what yoga is all about. And then we just get hardened by ideas and expectations and conditioning. And it gets like these like mud caked over us that starts to feel like a boulder. We lose connection to that spirit. And then thankfully, many of us are seeking, we start to feel that call towards spiritual seeking. And that's when we can start to kind of chip away at all of that and reconnect all those things. And I think parenthood has been a wonderful opportunity for that, because you do get to act like a kid again, and you do get to see the things through their eyes. And you're like, how can this not be magical? One of the things we do is we watch the sunset. Anytime that the sunset is out and it's beautiful, we watch it. And like, just getting to see that through my son's eyes. And my hope is, I am planning for my death. My hope is that, you know, when I leave this earth, if I leave after him, which is the normal timing of things, is that I hope that he can always look at a sunset and be reconnected to me.
That's going to make me cry. That is so intentional and beautiful. Oh my gosh. Wow. You know, having lost Matt, and I have told this a couple times, but the connection I have to nature, first off, I was obsessed with nature from the get-go. I remember driving in my car, 16 years old, in Alabama, down the freeway, 16, 18 somewhere. And I remember looking out the window going, this can't be real. I was like, the sky is so blue. These clouds are so white. The green grass is so green. It was just overwhelming beauty. And I remember thinking, how can this be real? This is just the coolest part of existence. And losing my love, but still feeling him in like a glistening palm tree or a sunset, because, you know, here in Redondo Beach, we have some epic sunsets, massive potholes as well. So if anyone's listening in the commissioner's department for like, so we need to fix that. But also the sunsets, I feel him in that. And that was not something that we actively, you know, watch together, or it had nothing to do with us prior, but I feel in the sunrise specifically, because my bedroom is east facing and I wake up before the crack of dawn. So truly when that sun rises, I just feel him and I feel this connection, and I talk to these certain clouds and trees. I mean, this is getting a little bit scary, but you know, it's my show.
But also, like, how can you not? And I think it's so funny, because, you know, I was just in LA, right? So now I grew up in LA. That's how Nicole and I know each other. And I grew up there, lived there my entire, I mean, I left Toronto when I was 3. So like, all I ever knew was LA. And then we moved up to NorCal, and I was like, what are these trees? What is all this green? What is this like forest in the middle of San Francisco? I was like, with Golden Gate Park, I was so confused by the nature of it. And I really wanted to come back to LA, but then the longer I stayed here, the more I realized like I was starved for nature. Yeah. And like, you know, the west side of LA, you do have beautiful trees and you've got these beautiful, you know, gardens, and you do have connection to the mountains. You can go and hike, but to live somewhere where you can step outside and go hiking, where nature is like surrounding you, where you literally like have forests, you know, the redwoods that you can drive through. I had no idea how starved I was for that, and how much of my practice and my grounding and like my sense of self was going to come from needing that. So it's, and no, you know, I feel a connection to my mom. You know, I lost my mom 15 years ago, and many other family members around that time. And like, that is when, like, how can you not feel connected to something bigger? That's when putting that little phone down and my like zero views on lives, for whatever reason that keeps happening on all the lives. It's just happening across the board, everybody. It's not you if you see that, because lives got converted to reels. And anyway, so then you like hate yourself for it. And then you put your phone down and you step outside and you're like, what does any of that matter? I mean, look at what we're surrounded by.
Yeah.
Even just simply looking at a flower growing, right? Like, and I know it does sound weird, but like, if I can, my kids are that, they're that in awe. They are that taken away by the, well, Jonah is, the youngest is like, just wants to like go and try to unalive himself at every opportunity possible.
Oh God.
Literally just wants to party all the time. But the oldest one is just captivated by it. So what a reminder for all of us.
Yeah.
We are all connected
and
we are just little pieces of this giant ocean that is, you know, human and spiritual existence coexisting.
Totally. That's the one thing I regret. And forgive me, because I know you grew up here in California and California is wonderful, but I never wanted to have kids in Los Angeles because of how I grew up in Alabama, literally being on a lake in the woods, hanging out in the woods, going camping and undisclosed who, I don't know whose land it was. We'd just be out in people's land. That's Alabama for you. That is irreplaceable for your nervous system. So I often wonder what it's like for him to be here. Now we do go back to Alabama a lot and we travel a bunch and I'm always constantly looking for ways to invoke nature in our lives. And I think that's an important thing, but if you live in a place where that is accessible, I feel like you're already off and running because that connection is so real.
Yeah. And I don't want to like, obviously I love LA, right? Like,
of
that's
course,
my people. And I definitely, I don't want to knock it. I just didn't realize how much, because I wouldn't go hiking when my friends invited me hiking, and I wouldn't like go and, you know, do like, I mean, the beach was right there. I grew up at the beach and I like never, you know, other than at night to like party. So, you know, if you have like even the little, you know, putting plants, like, I don't know, the listeners that can't see our video right now, like you've got beautiful plants in your room,
a little fern.
We can bring nature in. There's so many ways of doing it, but it's just, connecting to something living and like letting that prana infuse you. I mean, that's what it is, right? It's all life force.
It's the life force.
Yeah,
exactly. We're going to take a little detour here because I wanted to get into this topic. I asked you this question prior to starting just to make sure it was an okay direction. And of course, Sarah's like, every direction's okay, as I figured she would say. But I'm curious, with your work and having written your book and with the struggles that you've faced over the course of your life, do you think women are moms? I say moms because I feel as though this is probably more poignant, are sold that a 10 out of 10 body image correlates to life being easier. And let me phrase, when I say 10 out of 10 body image, I'm saying the picture of health that is most often sensationalized and thrown in our faces. That's what I mean by 10 out of 10, because I personally have a different perspective and idea of what 10 out of 10 is. So.
Well, let's take it from this direction, because you know how I feel about that. And I was very open, and I'll get to that. But let's talk about it from this direction. If you look back at the pictures of me when I was, you know, between 27 to 32, I was the thinnest I ever was. I was doing postures that were shocking and, you know, challenging and impressive. I was eating as the most cleanly I've ever eaten. I was vegan most days out of the week, or, you know, so in public I was eating. Let's revise that, because there was where I'm going is that there was
story,
stuff happening. There was stuff happening behind the scenes, but in public, and when I wasn't like in eating disorder, then I was eating the healthiest that I was eating. My life was all about yoga and wellness and this and that. But the reality is I was the unhealthiest that I was, because I was obsessed with the physical. I was obsessed with what I was eating. I was obsessed with what I was doing. Everything revolved around my yoga practice, to the point where I didn't have a life. I wouldn't date. I mean, I literally wouldn't date. The fact that I met my husband is like, it's a miracle. And it's only because a healer told me that unless I start saying yes to life, I'm never going to meet anybody. And I was like, this is bullshit. I said, I say yes to everything. And she said, no, you say yes to work. My life was all yoga all the time. And even though outside and you know, I got to travel, I got to go to these amazing places, and I got to wear amazing clothes because everything fit really well. What was happening is I was actually binging and purging from Thursday to Sunday. I was all of that vegan eating. I was counting my calories in like my fitness app or whatever it was. I was obsessive about my practice. Like I said, I wouldn't go out on a date. I wouldn't go out to dinner. I wouldn't see my friends because it would affect my morning practice. If I was in a training, it was like this tunnel vision of having to be in the training and obsessing about that. And I mean, I think, you know, my teachings, sure, were good. And I was always vulnerable. But personally, what I was doing to my body, it was the unhealthiest that I have probably been. But on the outside, walking around the city and getting to appear in different campaigns. Like, you know, I was a representative for different companies. Like I appeared like that thin privilege. And again, I've never been, you know, we were talking about body shapes and sizes. Like, I was a zero at one point, but I was like 19, it was what I looked like was very different than what was happening internally. Today, I am 42 years old. I'm a size that I've never been before, as far as like the way things fit. I eat whatever I want, although obviously reasonably. Like I just had cake for 2 weeks straight every night because it was our birthdays. I drink wine. I started drinking wine again. I had stopped drinking alcohol for a while. I drink wine in moderation. I make decisions that are based on how I feel as opposed to what I look like. Right. And I would say that I am the healthiest I've ever been. There are certain things that I can do with my body that I could not do then. There's many things I cannot do that I could do then. I can't backbend like I used to. So the long and short of that is our idea of what health is often what we are externally portraying to the world. Mm-hmm. And many women in particular will go out of their way to look good. Mm-hmm. At the detriment of actually being internally healthy and actually feeling good. And it's really hard. And it's especially hard in the mothering community because there's this like expectation that if you carry a child, you pop one out. And then, I mean, there's a social media account right now, a woman that was like performing in a Miss American competition 2 weeks postpartum after her 8th child.
Wait, oh, and Ballerina Farm? Are we talking about Ballerina Farm?
Exactly. And I don't know a lot about all that, but the fact it's celebrated and good for her. You know, I mean, if that made her happy and that was really her choice, then I'm not going to knock that.
Right.
But that we can't be comparing ourselves to that. And especially giving birth, the postpartum period, which it's years. I mean, it's forever, right? Like
between miscarriages and postpartum, I feel like every woman owes it to the female community to discuss it openly, because those are two things that are just completely, in my mind, just swept under the rug. I'm like, postpartum is a season, bro.
Menopause is now, thank goodness, because so many of the people that we were looking up to when we were in our teens and 20s that were, you know, like, they're like, because not to say our ages, love, but, you know, they were like 10, 15 years ahead of us when they were the ones pushing through and like, you know, doing all that. Now it's all kind of catching up to everybody. And now they're all in menopause. Finally, we're discussing it. The point is like, bodies go through seasons. Men's bodies go through seasons.
Yeah.
Have hormonal cycles too.
For
the
sure.
Is that, you know, if you were born and in a woman's body and you are identifying as a woman and you choose to carry a child, then your body's going to change as you have that child. It's going to change as you get older. And we do everything to try to keep it the same, this like eternal fountain of youth and this like attachment to unnatural thinness. And as a result, we're actually causing more damage and creating more harm than were we to embrace our body's changes.
It's so true. And to piggyback on the question initially, and I mentioned this before we hit record, but my 10 out of 10 has changed so much. And I do feel it truly shifted after I had Beau and I got divorced. Somewhere in the unfolding of life's facade, when I closed my business, got divorced, had the child, and then was starting to figure out who the hell I really was, that's when I was like, wait a minute, I feel best when I'm hydrated. I've slept. I've worked out for my mental health, let alone my physicality, but even my skin, because my skin, you know, it just, everything works better when you have that detoxification of actually sweating and moving things, moving toxins out of your body. That's when I feel like a 10 out of 10. That's my 10 out of 10, where I can pick up my own groceries. I'm not falling asleep at the wheel. That sounds dangerous, but you know what I mean as an expression. Yeah. and just excited about life. And I don't think you can't have those things in balance when you are, you know, trying to meet standards that don't exist.
I mean, I'll tell you, like, just personally, the exhaustion of it all, right? Because you're not getting enough nutrients. Then you're completely over-caffeinated because that was my calorie intake. That was my breakfast. I wouldn't eat, like, anyway, I don't want to trigger anybody. We should probably put a trigger warning because I was going to say my diet. But it's just surprising to me when I look back at, like, what I was surviving on and the amount that I was working out. You know, I was taking going to SoulCycle and then Ashtanga yoga, like,
It
was just like, what are you doing? But now, like, just the understanding of, like, being kinder to ourselves and the nourishment of it all. I think that's really, like, there was, like, this hardening in those early years where I thought, like, there was a strictness and, you know, I was attracted to strict teachers and I was attracted to strict things. And maybe this goes back to the control of it all, right? Like, it goes back to the magical thinking, which is that what also was happening on the boat. And I'm just going to say it, mom and dad, sorry, is that I grew up in an alcoholic home. They were fucked up. They were smoking cigarettes and fucked up that day. They weren't in their right state of mind.
Right.
Who knows what
right.
they were drinking or what else was going on. So no, they didn't have the container to hold me as a child to be able to ground me. I grew up in a very out of control environment. And then I was the one who was constantly being told I was out of control. Mm-hmm. And then I was out of control as a teenager because, you know, I was like, fine, I'll just live up to it. And then I decided, no, well, let's do it the other way. And I decided to try to control absolutely everything. And that's when everything became too tight and so tightly wound that there was no space for anything. And actually, it was me kind of collapsing in upon myself. So getting to this place now at 42, where I'm doing a lot of work. I talk about this very openly in Al-Anon, which is for family and friends of alcoholics.
Oh, yeah.
Letting go of the control of what I'm eating. You know, I go now to a high intensity interval training gym. I go to F45, which I love, and I'm like obsessed with it, but they do a lot of challenges and a lot of their challenges involve calorie tracking. And I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah,
it's playing with fire for me.
Yeah. And you know it.
And it's not like I'm not out being abusive, right? It's all in moderation, but there has to be a letting go of control. I can't count how many times I'm showing up to work out right now. We don't have a scale. We do, but my husband hides it. I don't count my calories. It's letting life flow through instead of constantly trying to control life. And that took a long time to get to that other place. But this is where the magic actually is. The magic is in the letting go.
This is so true. That's just full circle right there. This is where the whales are.
Mm.
This chapter is where the whales show up. I had a thought and then I just lost it, but it was about tracking things. Oh, so in my online program, I have a monthly group. And when I started it, I called it a challenge. And I was like, no one's going to sign up for this because my thought is I don't like challenges. I want to have a plan. I want to know what I'm doing. I want to be able to switch my mind up if I find something else that suits me better. So the idea of a challenge feels confining to me. Mm. The minute I proposed it as a challenge, people were just like signing up left and right. And they're like, I love a challenge. And I was like, wait, what? I felt like I was missing. I didn't understand. I didn't understand that. So it's language is interesting because to me, the word challenge feels like it's over moderated. There's going to be way too much controlling of factors. And I don't vibe with that. It's interesting. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it just was a thought how people perceive things differently because so many people love it.
I love challenges. Like that's the problem. That's my problem. Like that's, I don't need any more challenges. I do not need any more.
We're tapped out.
I think that's something to pay attention to too. And this is where the study of Ayurveda is a wonderful thing to get to know if you can, which is, so it's the sister science to the yoga as we know it. And it's really just living in harmony with nature. What's your constitution and how is that in your environment? So if someone is unstructured and kind of laissez-faire and they don't really track stuff and they don't really have a schedule and like maybe they are more towards that end of the spectrum that I don't even want to say out of control, but it's just a lot looser.
Yeah.
Then something like a challenge is really good for them because that's like honing things in.
Yes.
It's creating a container.
Totally.
For those of us that are like, you know, A+ students and like happily recording everything down to the crumb, no, I don't think a challenge is good. And that's where you just, it's just really good to get to know yourself.
Yeah.
And the older we get, the better we can get to know ourselves.
Yeah.
Although, you know, there are some very wise younger people and especially younger generations, but it's just getting to know yourself and what's good for you. So good for the people that are signing up for the challenges. Some people really, really need that. For
yeah.
me, that is the last thing that I need.
I hear
do
you.
Not need, they were talking about my fitness tracker this morning and I was like twitching. I'm like, I'm like tempted, you know? And I'm like, no, I don't need to know how many calories I'm having. I can already tell you, I'm already calculating it.
Oh yeah.
Unknowingly, like
what's going on behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, we toe similar lines there. That's partly why I just am like, oh my God, it's just such a wild ride. The whole aging thing. Who was I speaking to? Maybe Ace. Do you know Ace? Alicia Easter, yoga teacher.
Of course. Yeah. She's the
God,
best.
My precious Ace. And we were talking about just the aging process and what it's like, the wisdom you gain over time. I think this is where I mentioned I will pop into like a younger yoga teacher's class to experiment, or if it's, and I know them, there's only a handful that I know, and I've been able to figure out who suits me and who I can trust and what have you. But it is an interesting space because it feels like a lot of hyperbole and a lot of talk and a lot of, I don't know what the right word is, tweets. It's like quotable moments that are spouted about. And that worries me because our yoga practice, looking back at Ashtanga, when it was a silent room and you were paying attention to your breath and your neighbor's breath. And it was just like, there was some real allowance for work there. And I feel like sometimes now when you walk into a yoga space, maybe one that's been franchised or what have you, it's a little bit more like jazzercise. And there's no judgment here. I'm just wondering how we, using our wisdom, using our experience, can help influence that. And maybe it's just a timing thing and you have to grow into it, which is probably the logical answer. But I just wonder like how we can help.
I just have to say that jazzercise is having a moment where it's having a comeback.
It's been coming back for a couple decades.
I mean, it's like, I don't think it's going anywhere, but you know,
I write
for different fitness publications and they wrote me and they're like, hey, so jazzercise is back. And I was like, where did it go? I don't even know where it went. I think it comes back to, again, is like, what is serving you and what are you using these things for? So in those days when we were doing Ashtanga, I didn't have a meditation practice. I didn't really have pranayama practice other than like the deep ujjayi breath, right? Which is like the breath work of yoga that we were doing in the movement. I didn't really have a stillness practice.
Yeah.
I would run around LA teaching 4 to 5 classes a day, run into the Ashtanga room, power out all these poses, run back home, probably teach a 6 p.m. class. That time in the room, and for people that don't know Ashtanga, it's a memorized sequence. It can be up to 2 hours. Generally, there's not talking. That was my stillness.
Yeah.
But nowadays, my stillness is in the morning. It's a breath work practice or a seated meditation. And then I do want to go to F45 where they're blasting music and where things are, you know, I don't move fast necessarily because of injuries and, you know, just the way my body works. But I think there's times and places for everything. But maybe it's like, what are you going to yoga for? And remember, yoga is an umbrella. Yoga is meditation. Yoga is self-service. It is prayer. It is showing up at your local church or synagogue or whatever you ascribe to or believe in. Or maybe you don't go to an organized religion place. Yep. Anyway, all those things are yoga. But let's say you're talking about yoga asana. If you're going to yoga asana, which is the physical practice for the stillness of it, then yes, you probably want to go to a teacher that's going to be a little more slow moving, that's going to talk about the ethereal, that's going to bring those elements in. If you're going to a class that's like a hip hop flow and you're counting that as your stillness practice, it may not be enough for what your nervous system needs. Your stillness practice may also need to include a 5-minute breath break or sitting quietly in your car, even if it's just 5 to 10 minutes. I mean, there's studies and research now that 1 minute of sitting per day can make a difference in the gray matter of your brain, right? Which is like all of those areas of
concentration. Sitting in stillness, not sitting at your desk on an
meditation.
Excel spreadsheet.
Okay. Exactly. So yeah. I think it's just like, you know, there's times and places for everything, because you asked me right before, like, am I taking these classes? And like, I am actually very much attracted to like louder classes these days, because I do get my stillness in other
Yeah.
places. So yeah, it's I think it's all intentional, and just remembering that yoga is not just the movements. And
Yeah.
if you really are going to yoga, if you are drawn to it, looking for some kind of stillness, then maybe the hip hop yoga class is not going to give that to you. Maybe they do a
Right.
really good shavasana at the end. I don't know, right? But it's just being very conscious about where are you getting those moments of pause. And stillness, PS, is not stopping moving your body. As we know, stillness, it's an awareness and a presencing, right? So there's benefits to all of it, but you know, also like make sure your shoulders are in the socket when you're doing like jumping plank stuff.
Just
Like
basics.
also
Just basics.
being,
Like, you know,
yeah.
make sure you have wrist extension before you go
Exactly.
doing
Yeah.
your
Before you're
burpees.
doing any, exactly.
How
Thank
do
you.
you? God bless. You didn't know this. I didn't tell you this, but I like to wrap these little interviews up with a rapid fire situation. I'm just going to give you five words, and then Sarah, you can either tell me a story or give me a one-word answer or a definition or what, however it speaks to you. Okay.
Now, am I going? I remember a student here. So, am I going word per word? Or are you saying all five first and then I
No,
go?
I'm going to give you one word and then you answer it, and then I give you
Okay.
another word.
Got it.
Okay. I love the A student. Okay, you ready? Happy.
When I'm with you, and I mean that, and I'm not just saying that in a cheesy way, like just in this moment, right? This very present moment, I'm very happy when I'm with you, when I'm connecting with you, when I'm watching your content, when I'm taking your classes, when I'm learning from you, when I'm reading all the things that you write. Again, it's that idea of living with integrity and living honestly, the joy, the sad, and all of it. It just, it brings me joy, and it brings me joy to watch my friend. I mean, we've come a long way together, right? We've been in this business a long time together, and just getting to see all that you've built and that's fallen and that got built again. And it makes me really happy to watch your journey, to watch my friends grow.
That is, I'm not crying, but that makes me very emotional on the inside. And thank you for saying that. I feel the same about you and this time and this moment. Okay. Healthy.
Healthy is how you feel, not how you look, right?
Okay. Like that. I don't know if you're going to
I know.
elaborate. I'm sorry for the squeal. I just got excited.
No, and then I snortled because I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So basically we've been sick since October. We're like, you just buckle in October to May, everybody's got a
Mucus.
cold or a cough. It's just mucus.
It's everywhere.
Right, so that's healthy, but I feel pretty healthy. I actually feel good. Yeah, I think we need to start redefining health as something that it's an internal experience as opposed to what we look like on the outside.
Yeah, the barometer of how you're feeling. Yeah, I love that so
Yeah.
much. Okay, wealthy.
Wealthy is your network and your community. Somebody said to me the other day that your network is your net worth, and
Ooh.
I was like, I can't take credit for that. It was a woman named Rita Wilson who started a conference called Fempreneurs. That just blew my mind. Like, that to me is
Wow.
wealth. Wealth is my friends. It's the community that I have around me.
That
And
is
the love. I mean, my family too. Sorry. Sorry.
Who?
You guys
Wait a minute.
count.
You have a family?
Yeah.
I love that
I
answer.
think it's our connections.
Okay, two more. Wise or
Wise
wisdom?
wisdom is something that is innate in all of us, and that's what stillness gives us access to. Having those moments of stillness, again, right? It doesn't have to be stopping moving your body, but having those moments where you are totally present in whatever it is that you're doing, those moments of quiet is going to give you that access to that innate wisdom. Kids have it.
Oh,
Kids
yeah.
have it. My 2-year-old may be like, you know, wild child, but you know, and he's like, I want the cup. No, I don't want the cup. No, I want that. And his new thing is he goes, no, like that, like literally. And you can't not laugh because he makes the face, he like scrunches it up, and then it's like a no. And then you try to give him new things, but like, you know, God love him. He knows what he wants in that moment. It may be all over the place, but there is a sense of innate wisdom. They know intuitively. It's the other reason why I get really anxious when people are trying to control one of my kids eating, because he doesn't eat a lot. And I'm like, I want to trust his body. There is an intuition there. So wisdom is inside all of us. And then, you know, as adults, again, we get very disconnected from that place, but It is inside of all of us. So thank goodness for stillness practices to come back to that, because we all have it. We all have that higher self guiding
Yeah.
us.
Oh, I love it. That just made me think of my little niece. She doesn't do it anymore, but she would be like, never, ever. And she's Southern. She'd be like, never, ever am I doing that, Coco. Never, ever. I said, all right, Hattie, never, ever. I hear you. Okay. Final word, free.
Free is my favorite word. Free is like, I'm an Aquarius. You're an Aquarius. We're both Aquarius. We're like, free. Are you kidding? Like,
I know.
Sign me up for that. I mean, free is, it really is. It's not necessarily, again, physically where you are. I think it's an internal experience of just being able to do everything that you love and be around all the people that you love and have all parts of yourself fully expressed.
Yeah.
There's no parts that are being hidden or put into the shadow, that it's all parts of self are, you know, to their full expression, whatever that may be.
I freaking love it. I love it. I love it so much. I love you.
Does that make sense?
No, it's, are you kidding? If you're not Aquarius, maybe it doesn't, but all that matters is that Aquarians understand. Oh my gosh.
We don't like being told what to do.
No, okay, we don't. And when you tell us, we'll rebel against that and then say it's our own idea.
Exactly.
Sarah, you're the best. Please tell folks where they can find you, where they can get your amazing book and everything else we need to know about you.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me. And I'm so glad this podcast is finally out in the world and that it's just another avenue for people to come and find you and learn from you. And thank you, Matt, for helping plant the seeds for this, as he did for so many things along your journey. So my book is available. It's called The Yoga of Parenting. It's available anywhere books are sold. So anywhere you want to get it, it's on Audible. I did read the Audible. I was not sick at the time, so it doesn't, don't worry. But yes, it's anywhere books are sold. And then to connect with me, my website, sarahezrinyoga.com, or Instagram or TikTok. I'm all over the socials.
Yep.
And I love to hear from everybody. I love connecting with everybody. And I mean, it's just like when we talked about that feeling seen or that Me Too moment when someone posts something, like, please, if you feel moved by a post and you can comment, you don't even have to write words in the comment, like just a heart shows me that you are connecting with that. And it's my purpose for what I do.
And wait, I just wanted to say thank you for always commenting on my Substack. I think I have usually like one comment and it's usually you. And I deeply appreciate that, because not only are they thoughtful comments, but I just love that you would take the time to read my stuff, from one children's book author to a writer. I just want to say thank you for that.
Well, honey, and like, again, this is like another self-care practices for me are, I'd rather read my friend's Substacks than go down a million stories of random people I don't know and start to feel bad about myself. Right. So I love the long form content, and I love that there's an opportunity for me to comment on there. And I invite everybody that is listening to this, if you don't already subscribe to Nicole's Substack, please do. And please comment on our Substacks. I don't know if people know it yet as a social media app,
but it really is like
share people's Substacks. You can write notes on there. You can put little hearts on there. It's how we all connect. And it's just another wonderful opportunity for us to join together and to help people feel seen and to feel seen ourselves. So.
Yeah. And she does not work for Substack, but I will vouch for everything she just said. I feel the same way though. I'm like a super fan. I've had multiple calls with people that I don't even know, that I barely know. And I'm like, here's how you work Substack. It's very, it's so exciting and intuitive. Everyone's like, okay.
Anyway. I don't even know. I like, what I like about it is I don't know how to do it, but then you Google something that's very easy to figure
very
out.
Easy.
So I'm like, okay, all right, let's do this.
We can make it happen. We're Aquarians. We'll figure it out. Of course we will. We're Aquarians. Okay.
I'm going to come to you for the Substack tutorials.
Well,
TikTok.
Oh shoot. I don't know that much. Okay. I did have, I mean, this is it. I'm just rambling now. I did have a writer's hour segment with someone who works at Substack right when I launched. And it was one of the most helpful things. And they will do that with you. If you want to go to writer's hour and be like, someone, can you please help? They gave me so many brilliant ideas and gave me the, what do you call it? The lay of the land, basically.
Oh, okay.
So that's, they will really do that and help. It's really, it's just, it beats Googling, because you can, you never really know. I know. Anyway. Okay. I love you. I appreciate you.
I love you too. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you everyone for listening.
Yes. Until next time. Thank you so much for listening to Shock and Y'all today. This is a passion project like no other, and it wouldn't be possible without your support. Please like, download, follow, share, which sounds like a lot, so maybe just one of those will suffice. Please check out my online programming at sweatandstillness.com. Grab a copy of my best-selling children's book, Yoked, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I hope you gathered plenty of light nuggets and personal downloads from today's episode. I will see you next time. Okay, I love you. Bye. Hey, friends, if you know me, you likely know that I have a sweet spot in my heart for veterans. My father has a Purple Heart and the scars to show for it. Just recently, I learned that a common side effect of PTSD is hoarding. And those of us with aging parents have seen how quickly a lifetime of memories and keepsakes get stacked in boxes and closets, causing more and more clutter and stress over time. My friends at Floor to Ceiling Home Healing are helping hundreds of folks, veterans included, in residential and commercial settings with decluttering, packing, organizing, itemized liquidations, and even biohazard and hoarding cleanup. They are offering a 20% off discount to our listeners here at Shock and Y'all. So you can learn more by calling 424-272-8892 or visit their website, www.fchhspaces.com. You can also text Nicole 20, your full name, your phone number, and email to that same phone number, 424-272-8892. You'll receive a 20% off discount just because you're a Shock and Y'all listener. My friends, we are not meant to do it all alone. The team at FCHH is here to help.